بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. We are grateful to Allah سبحانه وتعالى for this opportunity once again of continuing with our Ramadan tafsir. This 26th day of Ramadan, 1,226 years after the Hijra of Anubi Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina. Alhamdulillah, today as usual shall continue and the Surah Al-Baqarah. You go. I think the last verse we read was the 41st verse. Is that correct? Yes. وَآمِنُوا بِمَا أَنْزَلْتُ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعَكُمْ وَلَا تَكُونُوا أَوَّلَ كَافِرٍ وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِي ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا وَإِيَّايَ فَاتَّقُونِ. Today, inshallah, we shall continue with the 42nd verse, inshallah. The last thing we read, وَأَمِنُوا بِمَا أَنْزَلْتُمْ صِدِّقًا بِمَا مَعَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was, first of all, the verse before then, he was reminding the Yahud and the Nasara of the covenant between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was urging them to fulfill their part of the covenant and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill his. And then Allah also said that they have to believe in the Quran, which is the confirmation of their books and all the prophecies in their books, and that they should not be the first to disobey, and they should not be as materialistic as to give their akhirah for the dunya, and that lastly they should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At-taqwa, he said, wa iyaya fattaqoon. You see, we have read somewhere where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wa iyaya farhaboon, isn't it? يا بني إسرائيل اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأوفوا بعهدي وفي بعهدكم. He said, وإياي فارهبون. And إياي said, وإياي فاتقون. In some places he would say, لا تخافوهم وخافوني. Now the difference between التقوى and الخوف, or الرهب, the difference between taqwa and this other one is like Ibrahim alayhi salam explained, as you will find it in the tafsir of Imam al-Qurtubi, in the tafsir of an ayah in Surah Al-Imran. I can't remember the verse, I think 180 something or so, I'm not sure. But Allah was saying there, فَهَمْ تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِ. And Imam al-Qurtubi says that the definition of al-khawf, as different from al-taqwa, is that if you fear Allah, but in khawf, if you fear Allah as in khawf, the ordinary fear, it means that you always are not sure. You will never be sure until you are sure. This means you will exist in fear until such a time that you find yourself in al-jannah. Then the fear will cease to exist. Now you no longer entertain any fear. But that as long as you are in this world, you will continue to live in insecurity, to always feel that you are not secure, and that Al-Jannah is not secure. Like you quoted there from Salaf, to have lived, you know, he wrote that some sort of lived their lives like that. So much so that Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib asked about one of them. But if he passes by a goldsmith, just the sight of the fire that the goldsmith used to make him faint, to just faint, collapse. And when Sayyidina Ali heard that, he wanted to confirm that that person actually does that. And he said, anytime he collapses because he has seen naked fire, please let me see him. And when he collapsed one time, he called Ali ibn Abi Talib, and he went there and saw him. And then he put his hand, you know, he opened the chest and put his hand in, so that he could feel the man's chest. And he actually saw that the heart was beating abnormally, that he could see that the man was actually afraid, and that it was the fear that had gotten him to collapse in the first place. And he said, this person, there's hardly any person as good in your generation. He was talking about, he's talking to the fellow. There's hardly any person as good in your generation as this man. Because that's what it takes to have al-khawf. When Allah says, وَإِيَّايَ فَرْحَبُونَ, he's talking about this type. But at-taqwa, like we have said, is ta'atu Allahi, وَنُورٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَإِبْتِغَاءُ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ. That is at-taqwa. The fear of God as in taqwa is that you obey Allah with knowledge, and that you do what you do with knowledge, because you seek Allah's pleasure alone, in terms of ikhlas. If you, you know, fulfill these three conditions, satisfy these three, then you are muttaqi, you have taqwa. So Allah says that this is what all the Yahudis and Nasranis should have, because that is the only thing that Allah has ever permitted for all of His servants. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. This is al-ibadah. That's what al-ibadah is all about. So after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still continuing. I think I was going to explain something in a verse or two before this one, and I forgot. Somebody reminded me yesterday. And I think it won't do any harm to just explain it briefly before we continue with today's tafsir. Where Allah said, قُلْنَا هَدِيْتُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَى فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. He said, Allah kept saying in other places, إِنَّا. But here He said, إِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي. He now said, مِنِّي here. In other places, Allah said, for instance, قُلْنَا قُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌّ وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ قُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ. So Allah kept saying, we say, O Adam, you will say to Adam, Hawa and the Shaitan, get you down from Al-Jannah. But here He said, فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي. He didn't say مِنَّا. I said I was going to explain, but somehow I got carried on by other things. I can't explain that again. The difference is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes will be talking about great things that He has done. And He will say, for instance, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ. We, verily we, kept revealing the dhikr of the Qur'an. We were the ones who kept revealing the Qur'an. Allah said such things, for instance. But then when Allah is talking about some other things, He never says we, He says I. He said, for instance, in the revelation of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent it through Malak Jibreel. First of all, from Allah al-Mahfuz, it was brought to Bayt al-Izzah in Laylat al-Qadr one night. The whole of the Quran was brought there. Then gradually the Quran kept coming from Baytul Izra to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in 23 years. And that Allah was doing through the angel. The creation of the heavens and the earth and so on, and that, in the last year, but he kills through Malakul Maut. He sent him to go and bring the knife. Then Jibreel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we send down the rain. And then the rain comes to the earth to do this and that, and then your seed germinates and so on. He said we. Because there is a malak who is called Ar-Ra'd, whom we have briefly talked about, who causes the rains to come through the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those things Allah says we, not because they did it in conjunction. He did it in conjunction with the Malaika, no. He ordered them to do it. But he is trying to show you how great the being who does these things are. So he uses we for respect. Not that there are many others who do those things. But when it comes to who to fear, you don't fear the Malaika. You don't fear the jinn. You don't fear the prophet. You don't fear any of the jinn. It's Allah alone that you should fear. So he says, وَإِيَّايَا فَاتَّقُونَ وَإِيَّايَا فَرْحَبُونَ. Me and me alone should you fear. And then when he says, إِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنْ هُدَى, is when the guidance comes from me. Because nobody can guide you. He told Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ. They said that the affair of men is not in your hands. Either Allah forgives them or He punishes them, فَإِنَّهُمْ ظَالِمُونَ. They have offended Allah. They have wronged themselves. It's left to Allah to decide whether to forgive them or to punish them. It's not yours. So, guiding people, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. Allah was saying to the Prophet, you do not guide whom you want to guide. It's Allah that decides that this will be guided and this will not. It's Allah that decides that this person will inherit Al-Jannah and this one will not. Nobody can decide that. So for affairs like that or worship, Allah never says فَعْبُدُونَا. He always says فَعْبُدُونَ. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. So affairs that Allah will talk about and say to Him alone, nobody has any right in that. Nobody. That's what He came. Particularly He wants human beings to realize that those things belong to Him alone. Even though the person in which He says we doesn't mean that other people join Him. But, you know, like you can see, He delegates, you know, He gives some angels that duty. Says, you go and do this. So it's Allah that is doing it, but He's sending the angels to do that. But worship, it doesn't pass through anybody. So for instance, you don't say, you worship Allah through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You don't do that. Or through somebody's brain. Or through a picture, for that matter. Or through somebody's name. You don't do it. You worship Allah directly. You talk to Allah alone while worshiping. And that's why there is that difference. I hope they have not repeated that, so we can go on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still addressing the people, and He says here, وَلَا تَلْبِسَ حَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ. This is the 42nd verse of Surah Al-Baqarah.
أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بهمزه ونفخه ونفخه ولا تلبسوا الحق بالباطل وتكتموا الحق وأنتم تعلمون وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة واركعوا مع الراكعين.
Allah says, وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتَكْتُمُ الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. وَلَا تَلْبَسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Do not mix truth with falsehood. وَتَكْتُمُ الْحَقَّ, and hide that until the truth. وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ, when you know what the truth is. Allah is saying to Banu Israel, do not do that. وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ and establish salah, وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ and give the poor due, وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ and prostrate or bow with those who bow. Now Allah is saying to them, لَا تَعْبُدُوا الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ. But he said, Allah is addressing Banu Israel, but this does not stop at Banu Israel alone. This address is to all people. If Allah will be asking those who have not yet declared that there is only one Allah that is worthy of worship, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger, Allah will be talking to those who have not yet made their declaration and asking them to do all these things. Min ba'di awla, those who have said that there is only one Allah who deserves to be worshipped, and that Muhammad is his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They should even be addressed more than the other people. Because what Allah is asking them to do here is what every Muslim must do. So if Allah will be asking those who have not yet embraced Islam to do these things, then it means that the address goes more to those who have embraced Islam. Do you understand that? I'm sure that's clear. So Allah is talking to Banu Israel, but of course he's talking even more to Muslims than Banu Israel. Because he's telling Banu Israel that if you accept Islam, this is what you must do. But to the Muslims, you have already accepted Islam, so this is what you must do, primarily. وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Do not mix the truth with falsehood. Ibn Kathir says, يقول تعالى ناهيا لليهود أما كانوا يعتمدونه من تلبيس الحق بالباطل يتعمدونه sorry. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to the Yahud here. He's preventing them from doing something which they are known for. أما كانوا يتعمدون. He's preventing them from that thing which they used to do deliberately. من تلبيس الحق بالباطل. And that is what concerns mixing truth with falsehood. And Allah is here saying, وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتَكْتُمُ الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ فَأَمَرَهُمْ عَنِ الشَّيْئَيْنِ مَعًا وَأَمَرَهُمْ بِالظِّهَارِ بِإِظْهَارِ الْحَقِّ وَالتَّصْرِيحِ وَلِهَذَا قَالَ الضُّحَاكُ عَنِ ابْنِ عَبَّاسٍ وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ. And Imam Ibn Kathir is mentioning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made prohibited the use of two things as far as the Yahud and Nasara are concerned. He used the two things together and said they should not do them at the same time. And he has asked them to also make the truth clear, bring it to the open and follow it. And this is why Ibn Abbas was reported by Dhahhak to have said, that what this means, لا تلبس الحق بالباطل لا تخلق الحق بالباطل والصدق بالكذب. Do not mix truth with falsehood. Do not mix Islam with another religion, because they cannot go together. And that's why Tassada says, this means ولا تلبس اليهودية والنصرانية بالإسلام. That ولا تلبس الحق بالباطل means that do not bring Islam and make it the same with Yahudiya and Nasraniya at the same time. They cannot work together. You are either a Muslim or you are a Yahudi. You are either a Muslim or you are a Nasrani. You are either, maybe you can be a Yahudi and Nasrani put together, but you definitely can't be a Nasrani and a Muslim at the same time. It's not possible. So you can't be a cultist and a Muslim at the same time. It's not possible. You can't be in the Kawain Drinkers Club and be in the MSS at the same time. It's not possible, because these are two different things. These are two different things. You cannot be a Democrat in the mind and still be a Muslim. It's not possible. If you believe in what the church stands for, you can't be a Muslim. If you believe in what democracy stands for, you can't be a Muslim. You cannot be a Muslim. Because democracy stands for the recognition of men above God. That what men want is greater than what God wants. And what men want will come first before what God wants. That's why the civilization first. They're even trying now to say that we should expand the name of God from anything that is national. That you don't use the money belonging to the state to build mosques. You don't use it to build churches. You don't use it to do anything godly. You just use it strictly for humanity. If you believe in this idea, you cannot be a Muslim. Because that is Yahudiya, that is Nasraniya. But believing them is different from working under the government that believes it. Because our other man is saying that if a man is a witch doctor, for instance, he practices voodooism, but he gives medicine that has nothing to do with fetish practices, and the medicine works, and you know that there is no fetish practice as that particular drug is concerned, you can accept that drug. Without necessarily believing in the other fetish practices of his. That as long as you know that this one is, this drug of his is clean, you can use it. You must see that. What we do is separate the grain from the chaff. That this person is working under the democratic government does not have to mean that he believes in what democracy stands for. But if you believe in what it stands for, then you can't be a Muslim. If you are in the Panwai Drinkers Club, for instance, but you do not believe in what the club stands for, what are you getting from the membership of the club? Has it become necessary for you to be a member? Yes. And I doubt if it will ever be yes. But if for any reason it has become inevitable for you to be a member, it means that your membership is about the demolition of the club itself. It's not because you believe in what it stands for, but because you want to think that your membership can pave way for the demolition of the club. That's why it has become necessary. If so, yes, you can be, but I doubt it can ever be. Because in the first place, you don't need to be his member. In any way, it doesn't rub off on you in any way. You can destroy it without being in it. So anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you don't need Nasraniya, Yahudiya, or anything with Islam. Socialism, capitalism, and all that, you do not need to Islam. Islam is Islam alone. Islam has its trade system. There is the Islamic economic system. There is the Islamic finance system. There is the Islamic management system. Everything you think of, Islam has its own. So it's our own that we try to build upon. So we can build it no matter what society we find ourselves in. If we find ourselves in America, which is a democratic country, we can still bring out the Islamic ideas, even while working with the government. Because, I'm saying this because people are confused working for the government would also bring you kufr into Islam. There are two different things. The government affects everybody, whether you are a Muslim or non-Muslim or anything. Whatever government you are working under, it affects you. That's why shying away from the government is like running away from yourself. So if the government is socialist, if the government is capitalist, if the government is democratic and all that, being under it is compulsory whether you are a Muslim or not. So under it you are. You are already under the government. So that's inevitable. But then, you will never be like the government. Even while under the government, you will still be a Muslim, and you will not see that Islam reigns supreme. So this is not the same as mixing Yahudiya with Islam. But if it comes from your belief, you have done that, and you are a kafir. So Allah says nobody should do that. The Yahud and the Nasara should not do that. وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ When you know أَنَّ دِينَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَأَنَّ الْيَهُودِيَّةِ وَالْنَصْرَانِيَّةِ بِدْعَةٌ لَيْسَتْ مِنَ اللَّهِ فَتَالَ إِسْلَامِ Allah is saying, do not mix Nasraniya and Yahudiya with Islam. Any culture that is Christian, don't bring it into Islam. Our Nasrat brothers, I hope you are listening. If anything is a Christian culture, don't bring it into Islam. It's Christian to set out Sunday for worship. Let our brothers not do that. Let our brothers not make Sunday into worship. If you make it a special day for some service, do you know anything like Sunday service in Islam? Saturday service? Subhanallah. Don't bring such relations into Islam and make it look like a Christianity and Islam put together. They don't work like that. If you have meeting, and it's only convenient to have the meeting on Saturday, maybe on Friday, Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday and Monday, you cannot have those meetings because you are at work. That is understandable. But make sure that the meeting you're holding is strictly Islamic. It has nothing to do with the Western culture. But the meeting is holding on Saturday is no problem. But the meeting is holding on Sunday is no problem. But don't make that Sunday a special day for yourself, just like it is for the Christian. It's not a worship day. After working hours on Friday or on Monday, you can still have your meeting, if need be, and so on. So that every day you are working, if you have to work on Sunday, is not now a special thing. Anything that is Yahudiya, Nasraniya, please leave it to the Christians. Don't leave it to Islam. I'm sorry, but I have to say this, and I hope you won't be offended. Please understand that it is the truth that has to be told. The Christians are the ones that are known for this. What do they call this? Chocolate. The Christians are the ones known for it. Where did Muslims get it? The Christians tried to introduce it into Islam through some ahadith mawdu'ah. Ahadith which are lies, fabricated. He brought it to Islam and it was seen that some women used it, you know, used stones to count during the time of the Prophet, and the Prophet praised them for it and said that ni'mat sub'a hadhi and things like that. That hadith is not authentic. That hadith is a pack of lies. That hadith is merely reported by somebody who was exposed as a liar. He used to fabricate lies against Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, against the guys of Imam Malik bin Anas and the rest. He used to say, take this and say that, and he was exposed. Check the spiritual ahadith of Sahiha, the fifth volume, and you see the exposition of this ahadith and their weaknesses. Wallahi, these ahadith are not authentic. The man who wrote the Sunan al-Mubtada'a brought them, but also tried to say that there is a way you can make the ahadith happen so that you can use them. But Allah, there is nothing authentic about those ahadith. They are not true. Instead, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam asked his ummah to use their fingers. So these fingers will be asked on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and they will talk. Will the subha talk? What you now call the tasbih. This looks like the chaplain too. Will it talk? It's the fingers that will talk. And the Prophet used the fingers to clap them like this on his palms. And that's what you do for your subha, for your tasbih. The subha the innovated world. That's why it is said that the Salaf, the Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Umar ibn Khattab did not know those things. It was innovated later by the generation of those people who were bringing light and making them look like hadith. But they are not in Islam. Those are not Islamic practices. Anything that is not an Islamic practice, don't bring it into Islam. When you know what Islam is. But I was saying that Allah was telling them, وَتَعْلَمُونَ أَنْ لَدِينَ الْإِسْلَامِ أَنْ لَدِينَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. And you know that the only religion recognized by Allah is Islam. So Islam and Islam alone is the one you should practice. Not mixed with Yahudiyah, not mixed with Nasraniyah, not mixed with any other Islam. Just Islam and Islam alone, because that's the only way that Allah recognizes. وَأَنَّ الْيَهُودِيَّةَ وَالنَّصْرَانِيَّةَ taught by Allah himself through his noble prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. وَتَتْمُ الْحَقَّ and you conceal the truth. You see, the Yahudis and the Nasranis, the Christians and the Jews, they knew there were prophecies in their Bible, the Old and New Testament alike, about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they are waiting actually for the promised person, the person that has been promised them, that he will come and kill them, the promised Savior, Messiah. They were actually waiting for him. The problem with them, which will also be the problem with Muslims who show the same line, is that even though Allah had said it and they believed it, they were waiting for the promised Messiah, they were expecting him to be from their tribe. They were expecting the person to be a Jew. The Christians were expecting him to be from their tribe. When he was now sent, and he was not an Israelite, he was not a Jew, then they decided that they would not believe in whatever he said. And so they hid the truth. The truth in the scriptures about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is always hiding. And Allah was saying, don't do that. Don't hide it. Make it known to people, since you know that that is the truth. وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ. And Allah now says, establish salah. وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ. And give the poor you. وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. And also bow with those who bow. الرُّكُوع here. الصَّلَاةَ. The word ruku has been used here to represent Allah itself as a whole. So first of all, this shows that ruku is compulsory in Salah. So that if you come and meet the Imam on ruku and you say takbirat al-ihram, you stand erect in the first and say Allahu Akbar. And then you perform ruku. While the Imam is still on ruku, you have gotten that rak'ah. And if you get the ruku in the last rak'ah, then you have gotten that salah along with the Imam. So if you come to perform salat al-Jum'ah, and the Imam has performed the ruku in the last rak'ah, and you get the last rak'ah, you would say takbirat al-ihram, facing the qibla and standing in it, not walking. That some people do. Some people do it while walking, while performing ruku. Say Allahu Akbar, and they are already in ruku. That is not takbirat al-ihram. But if you stand and say Allahu Akbar, and then you join, and you get the Imam in the ruku, first, you have gotten that rak'ah. Second, you have gotten Salatul Jumu'ah. So when you terminate his prayer, you will get up and say one other rak'ah, and you read aloud. It's when you have performed Jum'ah, because that means you have gotten Jum'ah. But if you do not get the last ruku of the last rak'ah, I mean the ruku of the last rak'ah, then you have not gotten that rak'ah, that one. Secondly, it means you have not gotten Jum'ah as a whole. So after the Imam terminates his prayer, you will say Jum'ah, not Jum'ah. Do you understand? What you'll be saying now will be Zuhr, not Jumu'ah. If you were performing Tasarruf and you met an Imam who is performing the full Salah, but then you met him on the last rakah and you did not get the ruku, that means you that Salah you did not get with him. So if you get up, you will do kasr. Two rakahs alone, not four again. But if you got one rakah with him, then what you will perform will be four rakahs. You bring the rest of the three. Because they have now gotten the Salah with the Imam who is not performing kasr, it means that you no longer can perform kasr. The Sunnah is that you now complete your Salah. Do you understand that? وأقيم الصلاة وآت الزكاة واركعوا مع الراكعين. And Imam al-Qurtubi and other Imam of Tafsir said that this ayah is the ayah that shows that Salatul Jama'ah is compulsory. This ayah that you perform ruku with those who are performing, you bow along with those who are bowing, means that whenever you meet people performing Salah, and you have not performed the Salah, go and join them and perform along with them. It is compulsory that you say Salatul Jama'ah. This ayah is one of the reasons why it will not be permissible for somebody who has heard the call to Salah to sit in the office and perform the Salah alone. An authentic hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that whoever hears the call to Salah and does not answer the call and pray alone does not have the Salah. His Salah is invalid. It's not done. In fact, there were people who had performed their Salah and they came to the Prophet. On their way they performed their Salah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they came, they met them praying. They met the Prophet along with the Sahaba also performing their Salah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They sat down and waited for them to finish. When they had finished their Salah and terminated, the Prophet turned back sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and saw them sitting and realized that they had not joined him. So he asked them, what stopped you from joining us when you saw us finish? And they said, when we came here, we had already said our Salah on our way. That's why we didn't join you again. He said, no, that's not what you should do next time. Next time you come to us, even if you have already performed your Salah before you came to us, if you come to us and meet us praying, join us. Don't sit down and watch us. Join us, and the Salah you are going to say with us now, make it nafilah. Make it nafilah. You will not make it fard again, because you don't say two fard. You don't say zuhr two times in a day. You say only one. If you have already said your zuhr, you come and meet people saying Salatul Jama'ah here. Join them if you have your wudu, and make your Salah with them now nafilah. It will no longer be zuhr, but it will be nafilah. You don't just sit down and watch them pray. That is for somebody who has already said his fard. Is that not the question? If it's a question, we give it to this and fast. The person is probably different. So, that's what you should do. You join. So, Salatul Jama'ah is compulsory. This is an authentic hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will find it in Bulugh al-Maram, written by Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that if any of you hears the iqama, the muazzin, after the azam, when you come to the mosque, either the muazzin or somebody else, he says, Allahu Akbar, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, you know, he's doing the iqama. Not the azan now. If you hear that, he says, get up and go to the mosque to join them in Salah. While you are walking to the mosque, Don't make noise. Don't keep turning around. And don't run. Don't run. Go slowly. Like the Yorubas would say, go gradually. Eh? That's what the Mithis say. Run. Eh? What does the Paris say? Touch me. So you go slowly. Be calculated. Don't run. It's wrong. For people, you see, find people running, going to the mosque. Especially on Juma. Some people have made it a habit. They won't go on time. They are waiting until the last hour. And at the time they will be going, you will see them running. Help us, center. They want to make the salah. This is wrong. When you hear the call, go slowly. When you are prepared for the salah, go to the mosque and go slowly. Slowly. If you get to the mosque, now you can hear that, you know, because now we have loudspeakers. So you can hear that they have started the salah and that the imam has gone to the ruku. And so you want to get that ruku. So you keep going, blah, 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 blah. Don't do that. Go slowly. Whatever you get, perform the salah with the imam. By the time you have gotten to the mosque and joined the saf and started the prayer with them, maybe you should have missed some rak'ah. Don't worry about that. The rak'ah that you have missed, when the imam terminates his prayer, complete your own prayer. So whatever you get with him, perform it with him. So the ulama say that. This also means that because Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam say, if you hear the muazzin, if you hear the ikama, go to the mosque. It means go and join the people praying and pray along with them. It means that if, for instance, you are seeing your nafila, and the imam comes, and then he said, "Rusu sufufakum, waqaribu bainaha, wahazu bil-a'naq," or things like that. This is an authentic hadith. This is what the Prophet said to the people to arrange their stuff. "Rusu sufufakum, waqaribu bainaha, wahazu bil-a'naq." If the imam says that, or anything that he says, to arrange the road of the Muslims, and then the man who is supposed to do the ikama starts the ikama, the Prophet says, leave whatever you're doing, go and join them and perform the salah with them. So ulama say that if you are doing your nafila and you hear the ikama, come to your nafila and come to join the farz, because Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, la uqimat as-salata fala salata illa allati uqimat. If a salah has been started, salatul jama'ah, by the imam raqib, it has been started, there's no other salah that will be recognized by Allah apart from this one that has been started by the imam. So that one you are performing, cut it short. Terminate it and come and join the jama'ah in this one. There is hikmah in this. There are hikam in fact in this. One of them is to make sure that there is no rebellion in the mosque. Because some people who want to start rebelling against the imam can use that excuse. They will hide under the fact that they are performing nafila. So they wait for this one to be terminated so that they come and do their own separate. And then you find people starting another jama'ah in the mosque. So to avoid all of that, once this one has been started by the raqib, any other jama'ah will cease. Any other nafila, any salah will cease. Cut your own short, go and join the imam. And also, if you are coming and you meet somebody performing his salah alone, do you also start your own salah separately? No. What you do, ikra'u ma'a raki'in. So that when you come to join him, you don't come and ask, brother, is it nafila you are performing or farilla? Don't ask him. Don't ask. Come and ask him, please, are you Sadiqa or... don't ask. Or you want to start checking his pocket to see his CCD. So that he has those signs that he's doing a river, and then you say, no, I'll not follow this one. Nobody said he should do that. Ma'arratin. Ask them to come and just join them. If it now becomes clear that they do some things in their salah that you do not understand, hey, you can reverse now. Just reverse. 2 steps backwards and you are out of the salah. Hey? For instance, you find the imam praying and then he shoots his leg like this. Hey, you see, you don't know this one. You don't know whether he's Muslim or Christian. Eh? But they do some strange things that you do not know in salah. That's different. But once they perform the salah like Muslims perform it, that is a who they are. It is bid'ah. It is an innovation to start asking who they are, which group they belong to. Or to start asking whether they are performing Zuhr or Asr or Maghrib or Nafila. It is bid'ah to ask that. Nobody should be to ask. What the Quran says they should do is join them. And join them, you must do. You know, because that is what we have already performed our own. That's why we didn't join you. And the Prophet said, no. Join us. Make your own Nafila. Which means that if it is Nafila you are performing, you can join those who are performing Fard. Isn't that what it means? That's what it means. And the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw somebody who had missed the first Jama'ah. He came and was going to perform Salah alone. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba, who will help this man? It means that either if the person who helps him becomes his imam, that man who has come will be performing Fard and his imam will be performing Nafila. If the person who is joining will now become the person who came and is performing Fard is going to be doing his Fard and is going to be the imam, and the person helping him is doing Nafila, it means that the person saying Nafila can join the person saying Fard. Do you understand? And there are so many other ahadith that have explained to us that the imam that is saying Nafila can lead the person who is doing Fard, and the person that is his Fard can lead the person who is saying Nafila. So you don't come and start asking, which Salah are you performing? No. But some people will be saying, my brother, don't follow this man. He prayed behind the imam. Who asked him to do that? Where he comes from? If the imam, for instance, the man prayed behind the imam, he got 2 rakats behind the imam. The imam terminated his salah. He just had to complete his own. Imam al-Akhbari, the man that wrote the book that we now know as Muhtasib al-Akhbari, is the book of Maliki school of thought. He said that he can follow the imam. And after imam has terminated his prayer, you are getting up to complete your own. That you are just like somebody who never followed the imam in the first place. You are just like somebody who is performing alone now. Now that you are completing your salah. So when you get up now, somebody who comes and has no faith that can come and join you, because you are just like somebody who started alone. If somebody started alone, somebody is coming, can't he join him? Can't he? He can. Even if you go to the imam you are now completing, you are just like somebody who started alone. So somebody who came later can join you and you perform. But people who come into the mosque after the imam Ratib has terminated his prayer, and there are plenty of them, and they put one as imam, and now says the other, you know, do the Iqama, Bismillah, and they start the Iqama, and then they come together. This is makruh. This is makruh. If they are going to start another Jama'ah afresh, it is makruh for them to do that. But if you come and see somebody already praying and you join him, it's a different thing. When you are saying Nafila and he came for it, it's a different thing. But all of you are coming to say the same group that the imam just finished saying, and then you are now starting afresh in the mosque, it's makruh. Because when the Prophet came one day and saw that prayer had already been said in the mosque, he went back home and left his people at home. When Ibn Abbas came and met the same condition, he went back home and left people at home. He didn't leave people in the mosque again. So that people do not start dividing the ummah through that, hiding under the guise of missing the salah and then starting another jama'ah in the mosque again. So that people do not take advantage of that. That is discouraged in the mosque. There is only one Jama'ah by the Imam Ratib. If you come, مبقى جماعة الوقت الصحة نبقى جماعة الجروب بوسا مغاية اندوية بس الامام مالك عن الامام الشافعي سيدة الامام الشافعي كم لايك ذات you can if you want to preach in the mosque everybody should come separate there's a hadith after all which says that if you come to the mosque with the intention of praying with the imam unfortunately you miss the jama'ah if you pray alone the reward to be written for you will be like somebody who got the jama'ah because of the intention and because of the effort that you make to come to the mosque so that you need the jama'ah so even if you end up not saying it jama'ah and again in the mosque, it's alright. You can say it alone. But if you want to say in the jama'ah, put yourself together, leave the mosque, go somewhere and say the salah as in jama'ah. I hope this is understood. وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ We have already explained إِقَامَةُ الصَّلَاةَ in our tafsir last year. So we won't repeat that now. So this is just all that we can see today. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We have actually just said the same thing. So, now to questions. This first one is not a question. Somebody here is asking brothers and sisters alike to put him in the dua. Because he has some problems that are disturbing him and he wants you to please. Assist in praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get him out of his problems and his own problems alone. Abi? Huh? To get him alone out of his problems. Huh? So the thing should be for the ummah in general. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for all of us. Whatever problems you have, see them as the means of kafara, first of all. Because it's not compulsory that when you pray that the problem will be solved the way you want it to be solved. It's not compulsory. Sometimes no matter how hard you pray, what you think is the solution to the problem might not be the solution to Allah. Because Allah knows more than you do. The solution might be elsewhere and you may never know. So ask Allah to solve the problem in the way that He knows to be the best. And we accept Allah's choice as far as we are concerned. Because those of us who accept His choice are those who will get the best out of life. May Allah give us the best out of life and may He bring you out of your actual problems and provide for you the solution to your problems and our own too. This one says, as important as the last 10 days of Ramadan are in Islam, which contain the Laylatul Qadr, what can I do as a woman in her menses during this time to be among those that will benefit from the rewards promised by Allah for those the night meet in acts of ibadah? Can I recite the Quran or say some supplications or what? You can do the tasbih. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illa Allah, wallahu akbar. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanallah al-azim. Kalimatan, khafifatan ala al-lisani, thaqilatan ala al-mizan, habibatan ila al-rahman. Even if it is not an authentic hadith, it's a good thing. The words are correct. Even if the chain of transmission is not authentic, but the words are correct. They are in line with a lot of things that have been said by the Prophet or even by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's required to do the tasbih and to plan for yourself things in Al-Jannah through the tasbih. Even if you are among those who believe that the Quran cannot be recited, but if you are in the group of those who believe, then even in your mental, you can recite the Quran, only that it is better not to. Then you can go ahead and keep reciting the Quran at that time. But of course you cannot say your salah in mental. But there are so many things you can do. You can give sadaqah. You can give sadaqa if you have some money. If you don't have money to give as sadaqa, give smiles as charity, but only smile to sister, not to brother. If you smile too much to the brothers, of course, they will misunderstand it. So there are so many things you can do for the world. You can recite the Quran, you can do the tasbih, you can do istighfar, you can do so many things. You can read the hadith, you can read the tasbih, you can listen to Islam. As long as you are doing something that Allah likes at that time, you are worshipping Allah. The second question is, I'm a woman who is already engaged with a man, but being approached by another man whose level of Islam is higher, fitna. This is fitna. I wish you didn't ask me this question. He's being approached by a man whose level of Islam is higher than the former. Just of recent, I accepted the former just because I was desperate, but through the eyes that I feel more secure in the hands of the latter. Advise me on what to do to avoid falling into wrong hands. In the first place, the first man, if he was already your husband before the latter came, then the Islam of the latter is not better than the former. Because he knew the latter is the fastest thing he knew that you were already married and he was still talking to you. By being already married, I mean if your parents have already accepted the first person and they are giving you to him, whether the Akdun Nikah or the Akdun has been done or not, you are his wife. It is wrong for anybody, no matter who he is. Even if he is Abu Bakr reincarnate, it is wrong for him to now come and talk to you again. But if the other person went through the window to talk to you without the consent of your parents, and the first thing is you were making a mistake. So if this one now comes, he also should not go through this with you without talking to your parents. Because that will give room to fitna. So in the sense, I don't know which is correct here. If the first person was already recognized by your parents, this second person is an intruder. You can either disengage from the first person before you now talk to this one, or you tell this one, please, sorry, you can see. And keep praying to Allah to improve the first one in Iman. Because no matter how good this one is in Iman, after accepting the second one, you might find somebody who is higher in Iman again. So you keep changing. As long as the first one is a mu'min, there must be somebody higher than him. And you will not keep looking for higher and higher even like that. You will never end. You will have 2,000 fiancés, and you will never end. You will never stop having them, because there will always be somebody higher. But the important thing is that the first person is pardon. And there's nothing wrong with him. Only that he has faults. You also have faults. You're also not perfect. So you can't even look for Mr. Perfect. But look for somebody who is a pious Muslim and speak to him. I hope I've answered this question. But if the first person, for instance, is a drunk, is a womanizer and all that, you have a good reason to disengage, because he's not a mu'min, and look for a better person. I hope I've answered this question. Unfortunately, the sister is not going to say yes or no. It's the same thing, it's just long turanti. As the father has sacrificed for me to the extent of partly financing my schooling. If the former has done so much, I have not found anything wrong in his Islam, please speak to him and pray for Allah to improve him so that he becomes better than this intruder. But if he's a prophet, he's a drunk, he's a womanizer, is this or maybe Anton, is this kind of thing. That's you to stop the refuses. You have a good reason to disengage. I hope I've answered the question. This one says, Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. May Allah reward us all abundantly, ameen. Based on how a woman should dress, in line with the sunnah, should she cover her whole body with loosely tight clothes? That's why it's loosely tight again. That's why it's loosely tight. Huh? 2 minutes. With the exception of the face and palm. Or, is it compulsory that she just has to use hijab? What is called hijab? It's what the Quran refers to as hijab. It doesn't have a particular material, but it must be thick and it must be loose. Loose in the sense that it must be wide enough not to show your figure. And it must cover you from head to toe. To some, it must cover your face. To some, it must not. To me, as far as I understand, it must cover also your face, as long as an ordinary is going to see you. But to some, it's not compulsory that it covers your face. So the face can be exposed, and the palms can be exposed. Not the feet, like somebody erroneously said, not the feet. The feet must be completely covered. But the palms and the feet, some feet can be exposed. Can. Cannot say it's compulsory that these two can be exposed. But the others must be covered completely. So this is how it must be. We'll take the rest of the question, inshallah, tomorrow. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك